The delicate dance by the Prime Minister around the issue of One Nation preferences continues, as we just heard there. Scott Morrison says that while there is a long list of reasons not to vote for Pauline Hanson, he's still not insisting her party be placed last on Liberal how-to-vote cards. Peter Van Onselen is political editor with the Ten Network. Hi, Peter.
Good morning.
Now, let's just go to the PM's comments first. He's described One Nation's dealings with NRA as abhorrent. But unlike John Howard back in 2000, he's not insisting that One Nation should be placed last when it comes to preferences. Instead, he says the decision needs to be made by local branches. The PM's going to be dogged by this issue right up until the election day, isn't he, unless he comes out with a definitive statement?
Oh, he absolutely is. I don't understand from a political perspective why he's putting himself in this position. I do understand that preference exchanges, some people within the coalition feel is important. But the only reason he could be doing this to himself is because he doesn't actually think he can control some of those LNP candidates who intend to preference One Nation, whether the Prime Minister says we're not doing that or whether he avoids even trying to get near the issue. The simple fact is that he has intervened before in what are party organisational matters around pre-selections. He did it in New South Wales to save the likes of Craig Kelly when they were under threat at pre-selection. Mm. So the idea that you have to have an arm's length view about party organisational matters, and that's what the issue of preferences is one that goes contra to the way that he's conducted himself previously, where he has been prepared to intervene in matters that are party organisational.
Now, this One Nation controversy, Pauline Hanson's Chief of Staff, James Ashby, claims that he and Steve Dixon were on the source when they discussed potentially getting $20 million from the NRA. Not everyone, of course, is buying that. Here's Queensland LNP Senator Matt Canavan.
I presume they weren't on the source for that hour, but I mean, this is remarkable. You have a party called One Nation going to another nation to try and influence our nation's laws. This has exposed One Nation as absolute frauds.
That's Queensland LNP Senator Matt Canavan speaking on Sky News. Peter, Matt Canavan isn't buying it. Does the explanation from James Ashby and Scott Dixon that they were on the source, that they were drinking, explain or excuse their dealings with the US gun lobby?
Well, it certainly doesn't excuse it. It perhaps partially explains it, but even on that front, it's a long series of, if you like, secret recordings and videoing that have occurred. Yes, they were seen drinking and in a sort of pub environment when talking about the $20 million, but I've reviewed the full footage. They also, at a different point in time, in an office structure, were talking about $10 million. So they weren't just, if you like, on the source out at a pub discussing some of these things. They were also doing it in an office environment in a non-alcoholic setting, if I could put it that way, unless they were, you know, if you like, hitting the scotch at the same time when they were in the office, not just when they were out at a bar.
And there certainly was a coherency, I think, in the discussions as well. So there wasn't a lot of sauce, obviously. Keith Pitt just called for One Nation candidates to all quit, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a fascinating one. He says they should all quit because it's such an abhorrent thing that they've done, but it's not abhorrent enough for us to lock in preferencing them last. And this is the problem that the government's got. You know, people like Pitt and O'Dowd and all the rest of them who are, you know, not necessarily guaranteeing that they will put One Nation last, and we can lump the Prime Minister, I suppose, in with that because he's refusing to confirm it as well. It's hard to argue that they are so abhorrent that they should quit Parliament or all the rest of it, but then they're not abhorrent enough that you are right then and there going to lock them in at the bottom of the preference ticket. So this, as we said at the start of this discussion, is going to dog the Prime Minister until we get a more definitive answer.
And this argument that the Greens are more dangerous, does it going to stack up now?
Oh, look, the Prime Minister tried to run this yesterday. I heard him say yesterday in his media conference, the Greens are dangerous. Look, they want death taxes. Look at how dangerous they are. Well, look, Australians might not be used to death taxes ever since Sir Joh Bjelke-Petersen abolished them in Queensland and then the rest of the country followed suit. It's a state issue, not a federal issue. But you look around the OECD, I don't want to startle people, but 19 OECD countries have death taxes. The United Kingdom, the United States, Japan, Germany. This is not a radical idea, but he seemed to think it was radical enough to compare it to One Nation, which has said that Islam is a disease and is in the midst of negotiations, or was in the midst of negotiations with the National Rifle Association for millions of dollars.
Oh, so this is going to play out certainly over the day. Thank you very much, Peter.
Good to chat.
Peter Van Onselen, Professor of Politics at Griffith University and the University of Western Australia.